Tune in to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll give you all the hockey news you need to have, and they're really passionate about their teams.
What's going on, All in One Sports fans? Jimmy B, Ricky O here, back for you here on a Saturday jam-packed edition, the All in One Sports program. Yeah, it's been a little time since we've been here. Some scheduling things happened on my end. Ricky, sickness on his end. But it's a jam-packed Saturday show. Yes, a rare Saturday show for us. But guess what? A lot of things have happened in the sports world. A lot of things happened in the wrestling world, too. But we're here for Full Press Sports, Full Press Cover, everything. We got you covered off the top. Before we even get to the hockey stuff, off the top, we got to talk about the New York football teams because, my God, you got Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, four plays in, Zach Wilson stinks, the Giants stink, Daniel Jones doesn't know what he's doing, and it's a complete mess in the New York football team.
Who's your football team?
I'm a Giants fan.
So do you think that the first game was just against Dallas? I really think that the not punching it in on the first drive when they dominated changed that whole game.
Absolutely, 100%.
You had the pick, the kickoff return, all kinds of things just went haywire on them. But Arizona, I think they got kicked in the balls and they woke up in the second half. I think they're going to straighten the ship. I think the Giants are a 10-7 team, 9-8 worst. But that division's so good, you don't know. Washington's playing good. Dallas looks really good.
Yeah, Dallas looks scary good.
Scary good. And I hate Dallas. They look really good.
I mean, the defense is going to take a step back, though. The defense without Trayvon Diggs, that's gonna be a hurt for them. Absolutely. But their defense is still good. I mean, but the problem is the Giants the first 2 weeks and then Thursday night too. I mean, their first halves are just getting ugly. They're getting outscored 89-3, like 89-6, like this ridiculous.
It's first like two games starting to play into the second half.
Right, and then they got outscored 60-0. But then it was gonna be a tall task to go into San Francisco and win, even if Barkley's healthy. I think they have a better shot at it. But, I mean, look,
I think they covered a spread if Barkley's healthy, but I don't think they win the game.
No, because, look, San Francisco defense, like Dallas' defense, they just annihilated that offensive line. The Giants' offensive line sticks, and I don't want to hear about Daniel Jones being up with this offensive line. No, he can't make the throws. He's never been that type of player. I watched him a lot at Duke. Like, I just never was a light – I never liked the pick at five.
Pick at five was a disaster.
Yeah, that was awful. You can't do that.
I still, to this day, don't understand the pick at five. I'm not critical of Daniel Jones. I think he had an absolutely amazing season last year. I think
he did.
Better than we ever thought he would be. How's that?
He improved last year. To $40 million a season? No. I don't know.
Listen, here's what I got to say to the Jets and the Giants. Lamar Jackson.
Oh, 100%.
Either team could have had him. Either team, if they gave him the deal they gave their quarterbacks, they would have had Lamar Jackson, and they'd both be Super Bowl contenders.
See, again,
Aaron Rodgers has as many highlights this season as I do.
He does. But here's the problem. You think about it, though. Even with the Jets, doesn't matter who you put back there, the offensive line is not that good. Same with the Giants. Lamar would make it better because he's so mobile. But, again, the offensive line, how much time does he have to protect to throw the football? And you're not – and look, I want to bring this up because you watched him last year. Jalen Hyatt needs to be put into this Giants offense more.
He can fly. There's nobody
the kid can fly.
I actually, in my fantasy league, took him on my 18th pick on almost every league I had. And I have like 7 or 8 leagues. I took him every single one saying to myself, he's the one burner. At least once a game they're going to give him a shot. Nothing.
They haven't targeted him. The game against Arizona, he had 2 catches for 89 yards, and you could see what the kid can do. Yep. He single-handedly beat Alabama last year.
Alabama just gave up a 4th-and-25.
Wow. Nick Saban's got
him. Alabama's struggling this year. I think Nick Saban might be his last season, I'll be honest with you. They were talking about on the radio down here about how he is just completely mellowed towards the press. He's being a lot nicer to people. He's apologized for being snippy in press conferences. I think he realizes that the NIL is caught up to him, and Alabama's not the only people paying off kids to play.
No, he's not. And he knows his team is not as good as it was.
No, either. It's not. It's not. No. Who's your top 3 college football right now?
top three college football. I mean, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, maybe Michigan even Utah.
In that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, like right now it's two Pac-12 teams because the SEC is down.
If Rutgers played Michigan in a one-half football game,
they'd win every time.
Every time.
They would win every time.
I don't get it. That second half adjustments, Harbaugh owns them.
Outside of the 1 year they beat them. The one year they beat. The first, I was at that game because I was working for Rutgers at the time. I was doing like just helping out with like the field goal with the nets and everything. That was an awesome scene. They actually beat Michigan, but also yeah. Michigan was down. But still, it's Michigan. You beat a big time school. But,
yeah, I remember. You know, it was the year there was talk of Rutgers in a national championship.
Well, that was years ago when they were in the Big East. I mean, think about it. Look, as much as like, look. Shiano, he understands how to coach. He gets his team up, but he's never won a truly big game for Rutgers. Think about it. Yes, they beat Louisville, but how many times were they in the Big East conversation and the following game after a big win, they crapped the bed, the losses to Louisville on the road, the losses to West Virginia or Connecticut.
Boston College and stuff like that.
It's like that can't happen.
Okay, fumble, recovered. Ole Miss, 2 minutes, 37 seconds left. Alabama up 14, 24-10. I'm just holding on. I have a big parlay, and I have Alabama given six. So I'm praying that they hold on here and don't give up two scores in the last 2 minutes.
I mean, look, Jackson Dart's having an awful game for Ole Miss right now. Like, Ole Miss really should be winning this game, and they're not.
I haven't watched. I just turned it on. So I'll be honest with you. I literally just got home. I coached flag football today. My first victory in the history of my life in football.
All right.
42-21. My kids played an outstanding game. Let's pick some NFL games for tomorrow, Jimmy. I'm going to throw a couple at you that are interesting to me. I'm going to ask you Broncos-Dolphins, 12 o'clock tomorrow. Dolphins home.
Dolphins.
I'm taking the Dolphins in that one big.
Is that's a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yes.
West Coast Titans. West Coast teams coming east at one, never a good thing.
Yeah, look at last week. The Chargers crapped the bed against the Titans, boy. Let me tell you.
Titans. Even the Raiders. Raiders went to Buffalo a couple weeks ago, got killed.
Here's my picks for tomorrow, nice and quick. I'm going to take the Ravens over the Colts.
Okay.
I'm taking Buffalo over the Commanders. I'm taking the Dolphins over the Broncos on the early games. And I'm going to take it and upset the Chargers over the Vikings.
I like Ravens.
I want to switch that. I want to take the Chargers Vikings over.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I got Ravens covering against the Colts. The Ravens look so good. That defense is back to a high level. Todd Monken with that offense right now looks so good. Dolphins at home against the Broncos. I already picked that one.
Eagles Buccaneers is a good game.
That's a sneaky good game Monday night. I don't know. I might stay away from that one, though, because I'm just not confident.
Raiders, Steelers, who are you taking? Steelers are on the road.
I might take Raiders at home.
I'm taking the Raiders and the under in that game.
Yeah, me too. I like Chiefs to dominate. I think they're going to explode finally. But, Jimmy, again.
Are you filming on your cell phone?
No, I actually am looking at the pics on my cell phone.
Could I have it like Mike back up?
What?
Can I have your phone like Mike Babcock so I can go through it while we're on the air?
Oh, man. Yeah. No, we'll get to that in a minute. That's crazy. That's awful, man.
I've been
man.
Reading up today on that story.
Oh, my God. What an awful story. But real quick, I think the Chiefs are going to explode. But you mentioned Washington before. You said it. Eric Bieniemy. You see Eric Bieniemy, what he's doing in Washington. The Chiefs miss him as the offense coordinator right now.
Yeah. He took a rookie quarterback, and he's making him look great.
Yeah. Think about that for a minute. But look, we talk about it.
Oh, my God. Oregon's just beating up Colorado State, just beating them up.
I mean, look. Colorado, you knew, is a great story in college football. What Deion's done, got that program relevant. First time since 95 they've been really relevant.
Yeah.
You knew going into Oregon it was going to be a different game. The coach is just, like, hyping his players up. He had a halftime thing with the interview. He's like, yeah, we're not done yet. Like, he's like, yo, it's not worth winning if it's you can't win big kind of thing from Mighty Ducks. I mean, look, it was a step up in class. No Travis Hunter is huge for them, but still, even with Hunter there, it was a step up. Bigger defensive line, bigger offensive line.
The tight end just caught a pass over the middle. You have the game on. He caught a pass over the middle. They dragged him down. He pulled his pants down.
Yeah, I mean, that Oregon's just a different breed. I mean, look, it's all well and good.
Oregon is one of the best, the last 20-year regular season teams that can never finish the job.
No, they can never finish the job.
Oregon is the New York Rangers of college football.
They really are. And think about it, right? You got Bo Nix there. He can't beat anybody. He can beat everybody except Georgia. And look, they're great at home. They do so much stuff. But you knew this was going to be a different animal. And you knew this was the heart of the schedule for Colorado when they had Oregon and USC back-to-back. You knew that was going to be a problem.
Little prime time just hooked up with a nice 40-yard bomb.
And now you got – now UCLA finally scored with about a couple of minutes left in Utah. That's been a 14-0 game. So – you know, Pac-12 has been
college football. I
love college football. Love the Pac-12. What the Pac-12 is doing in their final year of existence, it's great for the game. I mean, they got so many ranked teams right now, so many good matchups. And Alabama came to play today. They, you know, look, you wondered with Saban what Alabama team was going to show up. They still haven't looked great, but again, hey, you get the W. That's all that matters.
Deion, I feel bad for him. I really like Sanders. Look, I'm a fan of Deion just because of what he's done in sports. I think, you know, he don't get enough credit. Bo Jackson is known as the greatest athlete ever, and I believe he is. I think Bo could have did anything in this world. But people don't realize just how good Deion was as a baseball player also.
Oh, he was amazing as a baseball player.
He came up terrible. I remember watching every one of his at-bats going, just throw strikes, he can't hit it. And within 2 years, he's an all-star. And he's playing an amazing outfield. He's stealing bases. He's playing great defense. And he learned to put the ball in play and use that speed. And, you know, he's an outstanding athlete. You don't get enough credit in sports for being a pioneer in what he's done. And as far as being a coach, who don't want to play for this guy?
I'd love to play for this guy. Look, he knows his team needs to be better. This was just a step up with Oregon. It's just a step up in class again with USC next week. Though I think if they can get some things together, they can make that game close because USC's defense is not as good as Oregon's defense at all.
Yeah, Oregon's got a great defense, man. They really
They got a great defense. And look, you mentioned primetime. Remember, Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders went up head-to-head 1 year when Bo Jackson was with the Royals and Deion was with the Yankees. Bo had 3 home runs in that game, and Deion had an inside-the-park home run.
That's right. Straight away, they got ran into the wall, and Deion beat him. I don't even think they had the ball in their hands by the time he was hitting third base.
No, they did not. That's how fast he was. And remember, Deion also played in a World Series game and a football game the same day.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's the craziest sporting event you've ever been to? Like something crazy happened or just
– perfect game?
You went to – okay, so I went to a Dave Rigetti no-hitter on 4th of July as our Little League trip, right?
Yeah.
And I was at the George Brett Pine Tar game.
That's a crazy game.
And you know what's amazing is when they resumed the game, people don't realize they didn't finish the game that day. It was placed under protest, and the game was halted. So they continued like 3 months later, and when they came to the game, the Yankees gave out Rawlings Pine Tar bats.
Yeah.
It's still in my mother's basement somewhere. So it was a George Brett model bat and the Pine Tar all the way up the bat. It was painted, obviously. It wasn't real Pine Tar. But it gave out 34-inch bats, George Brett bat with the pine tar on it. And I'll never forget that as long as I live.
I know. Like I've been
when they resumed the game, who played center field for the Yankees?
It's a really
odd question because he never played a position before in his life.
I don't know.
Ron Guidry played center field.
Wow, because he was because he never played
that. The Yankees
didn't
give a shit about the game at that time. It was like
no, who cares. It's crazy, though, but Deion, what he did, he's a great coach. He just knows his team. They're just overmatched and, you know, good. Clemson and Florida State had a great game today, too. Florida State figured out a way to get a W in Death Valley, but college kicker situation, man. Yo, here's this thing. This dude, the kicker, came out of retirement to kick for Clemson. I guess he still had eligibility.
There's a guy this year who's playing somewhere. Is he the 35-year-old guy?
Colorado State has a kicker who's got, like, 3 kids.
Yeah, he's 35 years old. He was in the military, got out of the military, retired, and had 1 year of eligibility left, and he went on as a walk-on and made the team. He's kicking in his mid-30s.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, no, I love college football. I love this time of year. So many games on, so many good matchups. Just go back to the NFL for a minute. Like, Zach Wilson and the Jets, man, that team just can't catch a break.
Do you think Zach Wilson's that bad, or do you think that they baby him too much and don't let him throw the ball and be explosive? Because last week, I don't think they gave the kid a chance, to be honest with you.
They didn't. They didn't give him a chance, and it's not – but the problem is, you know, the New York market, they want results, and it, you pick them that high. Again, he needed time to sit. He needed time to develop. He's coming out of BYU. But I always liked Zach Wilson at BYU because if you give him time to throw, he can make the throws. I mean, he hit Garrett Wilson coming over the middle, and he made a great – and he had to score. Like, if he has time, he can throw the football. But, again, it comes down to offensive lines.
Do you think Sanders' kid's going to be an NFL quarterback?
I mean, the way they're talking, I don't know if he's ready for Sunday. I think he has time. He needs to develop. He needs to develop.
Man, he's got a cannon for an arm.
He can run. He's got a cannon. He's a good player. He needs
the
time to develop.
The position has become so hybrid. Lamar Jackson was the next Randall Cunningham, the next Michael Vick. He took it to the next level of what those guys
right.
were. And I now mean, you've got the Mahomes. Now you got, you know, all of these guys coming out of college that are just hybrid players. They're almost like a running back, receiver, quarterback hybrid almost.
They are. I mean, look, you think about it, like Caleb Williams they talk about, Drake May, you got Bo Nix, you got all these guys that everybody's talking about. And then you see in the NFL, guys are – these young guys shouldn't be playing. You got Bryce Young's hurt. Anthony Richardson's hurt.
How long is he out for, Bryce Young?
He's not playing this week, probably a couple weeks.
I mean, Richardson already with a concussion. I mean, how bad is that for his career?
I mean, because he shouldn't be playing.
Well, he missed the first week. He got taken out in the first week, too. He got a bruise. He got hit. He didn't slide. He got nailed. And he's not going to last long. He's built like a chicken. He's RG3 waiting to happen again.
Right, and RG3 was a phenomenon until he got hurt.
Do you remember when they had the RG3 t-shirts of him in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
Touchdown, that's Colorado.
Good. Yep.
So they're not getting shut out, at least.
No, but, I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, it's just – you know, they just were just overmatched there. And again, they have USC next week, and it's going to be tough. I mean, the big games tonight, you got Ohio State or Notre Dame. That's going to be a fun game.
That's going to be a great game. I'm taking Notre Dame because I hate Ohio State and Notre Dame. They're my two most hated teams in college football. So I hope they just destroy each other. And I'm going to say Notre Dame wins the game by 7.
I mean, I think Notre Dame's going to win this game too. I think it's at home. But you never know with Ohio State and Ryan Day because – Notre Dame needs that needs the game more than Ohio State does. Ohio State needs it, but at least they have the Big Ten championship. But if Notre Dame loses this game, they're not making a playoff.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you look at it. Just look at it, plain and simple. So a lot of sneaky good games left. Oregon State, Washington State, still got. I like Washington State at home.
Tough place to play.
Very tough place to play. Very, very tough place to play, and Ohio State and Iowa goes to Penn State for the whiteout game. So that's not going to be easy for Ohio State.
Those are my three most hated teams in sports: are Penn State, Ohio State, and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I don't like Ohio State. I hate Ohio State because they should have never won the national championship in 2002. That was a bogus flag that came in late.
Absolutely.
Miami won the game. It was perfect coverage. They went back to back. Like, that was complete BS. That was a late flag.
Absolutely. One of the biggest controversies in college sports.
Because the play was over, and then the flag came in like 5 minutes later.
College referees are shady. Let's just leave it at that.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
So I saw you watch some hockey already this season, huh?
I already watched hockey, went down. I didn't go down under, obviously, but I watched it from Australia, watched a little bit of the game, then fell asleep because I wasn't staying up because it was at midnight. But I watched the highlights when I got up. It was really cool to see what they did down in Raleigh Arena, down in Australia, growing the game and everything. This kid for the Coyotes, you're going to want to watch Logan Cooley. If you guys have fantasy drafts, that kid's going to be a stud for Arizona. So I will watch him. Pick him up if you can. Look, again, it's preseason. You know, it's good to have hockey.
Howard Bedard's first game, huh?
Dude, prospect tournament, baby. That kid's a monster.
What a snipe coming down the side.
So good, man.
I don't like his personality, but man, he's gonna.
Kid's a good hockey player, man.
He's gonna be hard not to like on the ice, man.
Dude, he's a great hockey player, man.
I watched some Ranger rookie flyer games. You know, Rangers swept the series. It was good. Good, you know, good contact. Rookies look good. A lot of, you know, guys you don't know who they are, but
right.
You know, it's hard.
As a, you know, a resident Ranger guy here, I know there's a bunch of people on All in One Sports that are resident Ranger guys here, but what you're hearing from Laviolette, what you heard from Lafreniere, do you believe they're finally going to take the next step with the kids?
Did you see the article today about the defense?
Yeah.
He's pairing Miller with Fox, and he's putting Struber with Lindgren. He wants to have a shutdown pair, and I'm really against it. And I'm going to tell you
I think you can't break up Fox and Lindgren because that defensive pair works.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Fix it. Because you need –
Keandre Miller is not Lindgren. Keandre Miller is all over the place. He chases the puck. He's behind his own net constantly. He's going to hang Fox out to dry, and what's going to happen is Fox is going to cut his offensive game back to try to not have so much in his own zone turned over, and it's going to really be consequential and hurt Fox's game. I do not like Keandre Miller up in the first pair.
No, neither do I. I think you needed to keep Lindgren with Fox because you need to balance out. What did we see so many years? Why was Carlson so good in Ottawa? Why was he so good in San Jose? Again, they're going to try him out on the power play with all those guys, I mean, in Pittsburgh. But you need a stay-at-home guy with an offensive-minded guy, and that's why that pair works so well together.
Plus, they've been playing together since they're 14.
Right, exactly. So why break it up? I understand it's first day, you see the lines and everything. But the fact that Lafreniere is so willing and open to learn the right wing is going to really help him because it's just a crowded side.
Lafreniere is playing with Kreider and Samardzija to start the preseason, and it's his job to lose is what we've been told. So,
and then you got Kako playing on the third line with a bunch of guys. So
he's with Trocheck. It's not so like that's good. He's with Trocheck and Wheeler, correct?
Yeah. No, Wheeler's up on the second line with Panarin and Keto.
I actually like that line.
Yeah.
Who's with Trocheck?
Shit. Who did I see?
It wasn't VZ.
No, it wasn't VZ. Who else was there? Was it Kreider? Who's on the left side?
Hold on, I gotta. Let me see.
I know I saw the line combos the other day. Everybody loves line combinations. Oh well, no, it was Kreider, Trocheck, Kako, Panarin, Zibanejad, Wheeler. That was just another day, and then they've been changing pairs around the whole time. But
it's Goodrow, Barkley.
Goodrow. So I mean, that's not a bad line.
I'll tell you what, the Rangers are soft as baby shit with this.
No, guy. I know they are though.
There's zero. He has no intention of ever playing Harper. He has no intention of ever addressing Will Cooley, and Otterman is not going to make the team this year.
Offman's not making the team. Offman. Nope.
And it's going to be a shame because Cooley probably deserves a chance to be an extra forward over on this team over somebody like a Pitlick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Somebody like I don't know. I'm not a big Pitlick fan. I'm not a big Brazil fan. I'm not a big what's his face they signed Bonino like. There's no reason for these guys. You know, if you take their salaries, those three guys alone, you could have had probably Tarasenko.
Tarasenko would have been back.
$800,000 a piece, right? So that's 200. Yeah. That's that's 2.4 million.
Right. Now find another 2.5.
You could have kept a real backup goalie and not have Quick at 104 years old playing in a beach chair.
Right, exactly. That's my whole point of everything.
Let's get to Babcock.
All right, let's get to Babcock. All right, so if you've lived under a rock, you don't know, Mike Babcock resigned as the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. You're going to say, why? Well, he looked at players' phones. He looked at pictures of
players' phones.
Scrolled through players' phones.
Also, let's not even make it sound like it's that innocent.
No,
there's a story about him inviting a player to his house for lunch to get to know the player. Sat him down and said, hand me your cell phone, proceeded to go through the player's cell phone, unnamed player, hand it back.
And kick him out.
And kicked him out of his house.
Yep. And that's the reason why he's gone.
This is a sick fuck, Jimmy.
Oh, he's a psychopath. He's a psychopath.
I mean, you know who broke this story again?
Our buddy, good friend of the show, Paul Bissonnette. On Spit and Chicklets, him and Ryan Whitney were talking about...
And him and Whitney went at it pretty good over this.
Yeah, they did. And they didn't back away from it either. When people were trying to back Babcock with the statements and they came out with everything, they doubled down on it. Then Commodore came out and everything. And that's when it started to be like...
about what he did with the Ducks with the player. They haven't named the player. when the kid was taping a stick, looking out over. Did you read that this morning?
I did not read that, no.
Okay, so they said Babcock's rookie year as a coach with the Ducks.
Yeah, and Anaheim,
it's a preseason game, and he's got a kid sitting on the bench, and he's taping his stick, and he's looking, you know, at the ice, and he's getting pumped up for the game. It's his first NHL preseason game, and he walks up behind the kid and whispers in his ear, soak it all in now because you're never being on another fucking NHL bench again. And they said that just this is the type of human being that he was, that he's just a horrible – what, Mike Commodore would cut his head off with a skate.
Oh, here. Mike Commodore is killing him. Mike Commodore, you listen to what he was on some of these podcasts and what he comes
but
out.
This is
he
going back 4 or 5 years with Commodore saying.
Oh, that. Yeah. Commodore, well, in Detroit, he would just never play him. And Kenny Holland, he was telling the other day, he said Kenny Holland actually stuck up for him and be like, look, dude, play Commodore. Just play him. Like, there's no reason not to play him. And then he would pull crap where it's like, oh, yeah, go take your crap off, get a bike in. And then he's like, well, why aren't you out there? It's like, because you told me not to do anything. Like, come on. Like, it's look, bad. he's got problems. Mike Babcock's got problems. He talks about how he's changed. He doesn't change. And good on the NHLPA and the NHL for making the right decision. Look, the PA went in there. Marty Walsh, a new executive director, came in there, and they did a thorough investigation. He went out there, talked to a lot of players. Look, Goodrum Jenner came out and said what they said, but they even kind of walked it back because it was just their experiences with him. And then, I mean, but the problem is when you got your general manager coming out and saying, well, you know, it really didn't bother me. It wasn't, you know, he did it with me, but I can understand why it made some people uncomfortable. It's like, dude, stop burying your own grave. Like, stop digging the shovel and putting, you know, listen, dirt on top of you.
You know, I think the argument that came out that was a really good point from Whitney, again, those guys are the best in the business right now. There's nobody better. About what if a player was in the closet? What if a player didn't want his private life aired? What if there was a nude of this guy's wife on his phone? What if, you know, it's 2023, people do weird shit with their phones.
Yeah.
What if there's something inappropriate on that phone that guy has no business seeing, but yet this kid feels his playing career is on the line if he don't hand this jerk off his phone?
Right. Because a young player is not going to say no. Jenner and Goodrum are going to be like, no. Like, guys are going to stand up and everything. But that's the kind of crap that he does. He just wants to hold stuff over players so he doesn't play them. I mean, you heard the stories with Mitch Marner in Toronto, like, writing down a list of guys that he doesn't think work hard. He had the stuff with Johan Franzen in Detroit, the stuff with Chris Chelios in Detroit, Madonna. Lindstrom even walked up to him and told Babcock to F off. Like this, he's got a problem. Like, he really does.
No, he does. He has a problem. He's right.
And he's never going to coach in the league ever again.
But he didn't deserve this chance, Jimmy.
No, he didn't, because the guy who is now there, Pascal Vincent, who's the new head coach, should have been the coach from the start.
It's another black guy. It's another Mike Milbury generation. It's another recycled, retread NHL coach that just – there wasn't guy. The NHL, if anything, is just a complete shit show when it comes to spreading out coaches and giving new guys chances. I was dead set against
LaViolette
coming to the Rangers. Only reason being is it's stale. He's a 2-year coach. Everywhere he goes, he plateaus in 2 years and he's gone.
Well, look at Nashville. Look what he did in Nashville. Took him to a cup final. He's great in the first year. You look at his stats. He's bringing teams to the final. He gets deep runs and then he's gone.
I don't like the retreads. I would have been all about the Rangers giving somebody the kid in Hartford, and right now
Knobloch.
I think he deserves a chance. There's always been this generation where the Rangers organization doesn't respect their coaches. The Rangers had Janander as a coach in Hartford for 100 years. The guy didn't even know fucking hockey. Ken Janander coached the Hartford Wolfpack under Sather for like 15 years, never developed one prospect.
No.
But had a job every year. Nick Fetiu. People talk about Nick Fetiu going back into the early 2000s on how he was one person who never got a shot as an assistant coach with the Rangers. Nicky won at every level. And Ron Greschner gave me this stat, and I went back and looked it up years ago. Every season Nick coached the Kentucky Thoroughbreds, every place Nick Fetiu was a coach, he ran the power play. Nick Fetiu never had a power play under him less than third in the league he coached in. The Rangers' Achilles heel for 20 years is they couldn't score on a power play.
Right. And they rely on it too much.
Ted Green a shot. They gave John McClain a shot. They gave this mother effer a shot, that one. They never took care of their own organization, and they're still not doing that to this day.
Yep. It's crazy, but look.
Who's the Devils' assistant coaches right now?
Travis Green is one of them. I know Sergei Breland's part of the staff.
Is Steve back in the organization?
No, he's not. And it's a friend of the show, Bruce Eamon, and I both agree that Steven should be in the organization somehow helping this team learn to have the team develop. Look, the Devils coming into this year, they have a lot to be excited about. Everybody expects them to do well. They expect themselves to do well. A lot of quotes I got were about the Devils guys expect to win. We know we're the hunted. We have expectations. We want to work hard, continue to work hard, but bring everything. And now you see a player like Alexander Holtz, who was told, like, last year he had a chance to make this team and didn't because his speed, his edge work, his decision-making weren't there. He did all that hard work in the offseason, worked with Jesper Bratt. He's looked like a different player. And if he can be if he can add to the top six, man, look out. This Devils team.
Who's your number one goalie?
I mean, I would go with Akira Schmid right now from what I saw in the playoffs. Vanacek can only get you so far.
I agree. I think Schmid needs to play. You got to develop the kid. Even if it takes one more year of finishing in a conference final and not making the cup, you're young enough that you could spare a year to develop him.
I mean, this team's window is just opening. I mean, it's not like
it's just open. It's cracked.
It's just it just opened. It's not like they're going to be worried, but the expectations are there for this team to take that next step here. It's you got to make the next round. You got to develop. You bring in Toffoli. The pieces are there. You know, your coach is there. You have good assistants, your power play, young players. Everything is falling right for New Jersey, and they've done it the right way, building a winning culture, bringing guys in that want to be here now. So, you know, and then you see, like, and not to harp on it too much, but you see the former guy that was in New York, Jeff Gordon, what he's doing in Montreal. You see the plan that the Rangers wanted to follow, and he's really putting together a nice team up there.
Yeah, he is. Montreal's a big sleeper. I believe Buffalo is a big, big sleeper this year.
Yes.
I think Buffalo makes the playoffs.
I like Ottawa up there, too.
Ottawa's got a really good team, Jimmy. Really good.
It's playoffs.
Press hockey on the 27th next week. This week coming up, I will be at the first Preds exhibition game against Tampa Bay. I will be there live, probably live tweeting for Full Press Hockey and for you, me, all in, everything we need to do. And then let's see about my damn press credentials, Preds.
I'm working on them.
Not you. I'm mad at the Preds. How many emails do we have to send?
Right, exactly. I mean, I even told them we could do it on a game-by-game basis. Like, we don't have to do it, like, all the time.
Right.
Like, but, no, it's going to be good. You're going to be down there. I'm going to be up here. We're going to be doing what we're doing for all
I'm coming up for some Ranger games this year, so I will see you for sure up in the
I think I might come down to Nashville for a couple of games.
Come for a Devil game.
Yeah. Check it out. Why not, right? Just do it. Do it up.
You know, it's weird. I think the Preds and Devils the last 3 years have played on a Saturday.
I think so, but I don't think they do this year. I was looking at the schedule. I don't think they do.
We'll go down and hang out with our boy Barry Trotz.
Yeah, we'll just – yo, Barry, you know, look, I've been reading a lot of good things out of Preds camp. I heard that this team – like, people don't want to – don't sleep on this team.
No, they're big.
Like, you like them, right?
They're big. No, I like the Preds size. I do, 100%. I'm just looking forward to see what Burnett does with the team and what his style is, you know. But I think the Preds are a big, mean, physical team, even without Drouin, you know. Hey, is Drouin healthy coming into camp, do you know?
I do know. He is healthy for Tampa. He is Yo, what about this coming out of Tampa? Steven Stamkos dropped that hammer saying he's disappointed in contract talks. He wanted a contract extension this summer. He told the Lightning that at the end of last year, not happy with it.
Money is the root of all evil in sports, Jim.
Speaking
about money and sports.
Oh, by the way, I want your take on this because I put an article up on Full Press Hockey. I compared Mike Babcock to CM Punk. Fair comparison?
No, you're insulting.
No, Punk. No. But what I'm saying is controversial, polarizing figure. I looked at it at that angle.
No, I mean, everywhere he goes, he's hated. Everywhere he goes, he wears out his welcome. So there is a comparison there, 100%.
Right.
I mean, if you're looking at it through those glasses, yeah, of course. I mean, right. They're both They're both magnets for. They're both what you call a heat magnet. You know,
right? They're heat magnets.
And let's talk about real quick the WWE cuts Elias.
I think Dolph Ziggler
could walk into
AEW.
Full time movies in a second.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
He does a stand up talk show, comedy show on the road. He sells out everywhere he goes. He stops it every once in a while because Vince gives him a hard time. He's entertaining. Another guy who got hurt. Otherwise, his world championship run would have been so much better.
Well, I mean, let's back it up. So, obviously, the TKO stuff. They announced the merger, all that stuff. Huge day because Vince don't own WWE anymore, which is...
How shocking is it that the UFC buys the WWE and Riddle's one of the first guys got?
Oh, not shocking at all. Not shocking. They hate him. And then, no surprise that TKO wants Vince out because of all the scandals because they're a publicly traded company. But they announced a new SmackDown deal to USA and then all these cuts come. No surprise.
Big Dollar, Top Dollar, whatever his name is.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. He sucks.
I feel bad for her.
I feel bad for her because she never can catch a break.
No. And you know what's funny? She announced, did you hear the story? I heard it on Busted Open. She announces on Twitter, hey, they're going to Perth, Australia, my hometown. I can't wait to wrestle. And an hour later, she's like, forget it. I was cut. That poor girl.
I mean, the cuts are ridiculous. It's just continuously saving money. Always what's money.
Too is they cut, what's his name, Mustafa Ali?
Ali, right? Yeah.
He's in
he was supposed to have a he was supposed to have a title match.
That's just weird. It's almost like they came in and they were just like him, and him gone. But they said one of the criterias this year was guys wrestling for NXT that were under WWE full-time contracts. That they did not want to pay them full-time money to be wrestling in NXT.
I don't know, man. Well, that's because
NXT gets $500 a week, Jim. That's it.
Yeah, I know because
those guys work waiting tables. Those girls are or cocktail waitressing.
Well, that's because they're using NXT the right way now. If they did that, if they started doing that under Triple H, maybe all these guys that were there under NXT would be, you know, making the money they should be making.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick Boogs is gone too. I mean, that was Tony Khan,
working 80 hours a week. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I saw him that. Tony Khan, man, that's your boy.
Tony Khan, man. Cocaine's a wonderful drug.
Dude, Shelton Benjamin. I think, like, the biggest ones were Ziggler, Benjamin, guys like that. The rest of them,
Benjamin's a little past his prime, but still an entertaining guy.
I think still an entertaining guy. I really think, like, the guy that I really think would be was Dolph Ziggler. But, again, they didn't use him, never used him properly.
Riddle, Ziggler, and Elias all 90 days show up in AEW, even as a fraction.
I think Ziggler, yes, because his brother's there.
Yeah, plus he's a main event guy. You know?
Yeah, he is a main event guy.
He actually could walk in and take the CM Punk role over on the Saturday Night Show.
Oh, he could absolutely.
You could bring him in there, put him right with the FTR, and they wouldn't miss a beat because that guy is the tough guy. He could play that role, or he could be the sexy world champion coward heel. You could put him either way, but he's over.
He's so over. I mean, I believe, that was Jersey when he cashed in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for that Raw. That pop for him was huge.
Yeah, poor guy got hurt. That's what I'm saying. He got a concussion. Yeah. I think Alberto Del Rio's hurt him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, did you see what happened on Wednesday?
With Moxley?
Yeah.
Look, he's alive.
I know. But did you see he got a concussion right away on the first spot from Phoenix?
Yeah.
The dive off the platform. Yeah. And he told the official when he didn't count to three, he's like, F you. And then you got Adam Cole jumping off the ramp and hurting himself.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing?
I'm still not convinced that they're using MJF right.
No. I mean, he had a great main event. He had a great main event with Joe. I thought it was a great match. Absolutely. That was a great match.
They put him with a star.
Yeah, right? They did.
Yep. A couple weeks ago, who should he be going over? Punk, Samoa Joe, bring in Ziggler, put him over Ziggler. Bring in Elias, put him over Elias.
Well, I don't know about Elias. I don't know if he's on the same level.
Elias was never given a chance, Jimmy.
No, that's true. He wasn't.
No matter what he did, he got over. He was over as a heel. He was over as his brother. He was over whatever he did, but they always shot him down. They never gave him a chance to go to the next level.
No, and Riddle, too. I mean, Riddle was so over in NXT, too.
Riddle's an asshole. I mean, I liked him. I loved him in GCW. I had business dealings with him. I think he was great on TV, but shut up, man.
Yeah, that's true. Just shut up.
He got raped in an airport by a cop.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that. That's crazy.
His ex-wife killed him. Did you see the interview?
Yep.
She buried him, man. There's a lot of bad blood there.
Well, I was listening to Bret Hart the other day bury Hulk Hogan about 93 in WrestleMania 9 and everything, how Hogan came back, how Vince promises to like Punk and all these guys, oh, Bret, we're going to make you a champion, like Backlund, 7 or 8 year reign when he first won the title from Flair. Oh, you're going to have this long reign. Minute Yoko showed up. Nope, that didn't happen. But yeah, he always went back to Bret. When the business was needed a turning, he always went back to Bret.
Because he got great matches out of him.
Exactly, and he was a great champion. And then Hogan shows up. Hogan wants the spotlight. Didn't want to put him over. Hulk Hogan wasn't in Bret Hart's class.
Well, not as a wrestler, but as an entertainer. No. Nobody was in Hogan's class.
I mean, no, nobody was.
The Rock wasn't even as over as Hogan was in his prime. Let's be honest. Hogan set the bar for that. But if you want quality matches, you're not getting it. You know, it was, you know, you got to remember something. He went through a string of champions back then, Diesel. You know, they kept going back to Bret because, fuck, they gave Bob Backlund a second run.
Well, they took Bob Backlund won the title for one day.
Right, but they had to get it off of Diesel.
Well, no, they had to get it off of Bret to get it to Diesel.
To get it to Diesel, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, like, you can't, because it didn't make sense for Bret to lose to him.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It never did. I watched that Survivor Series. I still watch it back, and I'm like, why did Bret lose to Bob Backlund? He's like, he even said in an interview, he's like, all that run from with Yoko, with Diesel, that should have been my run. I should have had this long title run. Like, I know sometimes he comes off as a whiner and a crybaby, but he makes great points because you look at it, it's like.
He cares.
He cares about the business. Like, nothing against Yoko. I think Yoko was a great monster heel champion in 93. I thought that, I mean, as much as it pained me for Bret not to be champion, I thought that was a great move to put Yoko over as a champion.
Yoko with Jim Cornette and Owen Hart was amazing.
That was great. I mean, that was awesome. And Yoko should have never dropped the title to Hogan at WrestleMania 9. That should have been Yoko's moment, not a King of the Ring with that crap finish.
Not with the photographer?
Yeah, with Harvey Whippleman. That was awful.
Let's wrap this up on Saturday night. Let's watch some college football. Jump on here Monday night and review the NFL Sunday games.
Mm-hmm.
Give our NFL prediction for Monday, and then there's the Thursday night wrestling show.
Hopefully we can get your buddy back on.
Oh, Eddie?
No, not Eddie. The other guy.
He's been calling me the poor guy. Tommy moved to the middle of Virginia because I don't know if I told you, Tommy lost his leg to an amputation.
Yeah.
And he's living out in Virginia, and he apologized up a storm. His internet was out, and he couldn't get a connection. But he'll come on anytime we want him.
And awesome.
You gotta get Joey on.
I've been calling him, you know, return my phone calls.
I'll call him.
Yeah.
Joey's a pain in the ass, but he's
Yeah, he is. But Monday night, we'll hop in, talk some NFL weekend that was. Then we got Thursday night wrestling show. All in One Sports coming back at you all the time now.
Did they win this week?
Do they win this week?
Do they win this week?
Who they got?
Burrow's hurt. I don't even know if he's playing. He's a game time.
He's not playing. No, he's not playing.
They're out. 0-3.
0-3. Kiss it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Game of the week. Take your pick of the week.
Eagles-Bucks Monday night.
Eagles-Bucks?
Eagles-Bucks Monday night.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take the Raiders over the Steelers is my luck.
Oh, I like that. I like that pick. I like Dolphins at home as my lock. I know it's easy,
One. That's a good pick. I forgot about the fish.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick us out this week. Thank you to Jimmy, All in One Sports, Full Press Wrestling, Full Press Hockey, Full Press Everything for Jimmy, College Football Shows. Jimmy does a show about gardening, anything else you want to talk about. He's dressed today like the Rabbi Jim Berriman over here. He's Yeshaya Jim. Anyway, Jimmy, thank you as always. Take us out.
Hey, guys, this has been another edition of All in One Sports. Myself, Jumpin' Jimmy B, Ravishing Ricky O. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, replays, all over Facebook, Twitter, wherever you can find us. All in One Sports coming back at you Monday night. Talk to you again real soon.